Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. Say play ESPN on your smart speakers. There we are. You can download the podcast. Key and I joined by Harry Douglas today. Good morning, Harry. How you doing?
I'm doing good, fellas. How y'all doing?
Harry.
Here go Key.
The NFL, it's one thing after another, right? We're coming off two of the best weekends you could ask for in terms of games. Divisional round was bananas. And then this last week, the conference championships were great. Now we're heading to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady retires, but then says, no, I didn't, and now he retires. And then now we're hit with this, the latest, which is Brian Flores, the very successful. Like, you look at what he did with what he inherited with the Dolphins and what he turned them into. Former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, filed a class action lawsuit against the New York Football Giants and the NFL, claiming racial discrimination. He says he can prove that the Giants interviewed him as a Rooney Rule show after deciding to hire Brian Daboll. I mean, this is one of the issues with the Rooney Rule that we you know, you can just think about and understand could easily happen, and we've actually seen where a team knows who they want to hire, but because that candidate is not African-American and they want to check off the Rooney Rule, they make a big show of interviewing so-called minority candidate in order to fulfill the rule, but in fact they'd already made their decision, and that appears to be the case here. That's at least what Flores is alleging, guys, because he has a text from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick congratulating Flores on getting hired by the Giants. Well, Flores hadn't interviewed yet. So you say, well, what does that do? Well, in fact, a series of texts. One of them, the final one, says, sorry, I bleeped this up. I double-checked and misread the text. I think they're naming Brian Daboll. I'm sorry about that. So, in other words, Bill Belichick thought he was texting Brian Daboll saying congratulations on the hire. Turns out he was texting Brian Flores. He must have stuff in his phone under the first name and not the last name, right? So the two Brians are right there. Thought he was texting Brian Flores and kind of spilled the beans. So that's the setup. Key and Harry, as two accomplished and intelligent former African-American NFL players, I am very interested in hearing your points of view on this subject. Key, let me start with you.
Well, let me first start off by saying the Bill Belichick situation, let's be clear. Bill wasn't in cahoots with the New York Giants. Bill Belichick has information because he's dialed into the entire National Football League. And I believe Bill would have done the same thing had it actually been Brian Flores that he coached with for 10 years. But in this situation, it just so happened he read the wrong name, did his texting, and was like, oops. And so when you start there, I just want to be clear because I don't want people to think that Coach Belichick is like in cahoots with the Giants.
Twirling his mustache somewhere. Yeah. It ain't like
so
that. No.
It's not like that. He just happened to text the wrong person, and because he got the information because he's dialed into the National Football League. Now, on the larger thing, the moment that the Giants made the decision to hire Joe Shane from the Buffalo Bills, first, second, third, or fifth interview, I knew that Brian Flores was just there because of the color of his skin. I knew that. Anybody that understands the National Football League and the way that they're trying to do things from a copycat league standpoint, we all knew that it wasn't going to be Leslie Frazier, because Leslie Frazier essentially does not develop quarterbacks on the offensive side of the ball. And what is it, the one thing that the Giants desperately need is to figure out Daniel Jones. So Brian Daboll was the guy all along. The sad part and the disrespectful part is they made a decision before the second interview of Brian Flores. He interviewed originally on Zoom and then was going to have an in-person interview. He thought in his heart of hearts that he would have a real opportunity because that's what he was being sold. So imagine sitting in a room knowing that they've already made a decision, even though they haven't publicly announced it, but privately have told people they made a decision, but they still need to meet a certain quota by interviewing and making it look and sound as though you have a real opportunity when they're just wasting your time. Now, the fact that he has receipts that come via Bill Belichick is something explosive, in my opinion. I am not a legal expert or a lawyer. The only thing I can do is look at it on the surface as what it is. You look at the same hiring practice the San Francisco 49ers made with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan at a time that they interviewed, partnered up an interview with Josh McDaniel and Lewis Riddick. But did they really want to hire Lewis Riddick as a general manager? Or was that just something to do until they got to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, my former teammate? Or you look at most recently with the Las Vegas Raiders and what they've decided to do. Pair two guys from the New England Patriots to take over their organization. Did anybody else have a real shot and a chance? Mm. And so that is the copycat way of doing things. You'd look at the Buffalo Bills and the success they've had with my good friend Brandon Bean at the general manager spot and Sean McDermott at the head coaching spot. They came together from Carolina. So, Harry, when you look at these things, on the surface, it's very disappointing.
Yeah, Key, I think it's more than disappointing, and I think it's sad on a lot of cases. When you look at Brian Flores and what transpired, but not just him. Think about all the other coaches of color who have interviewed for these jobs, knowing 100% that they weren't going to get them, and they're just being used by the Rooney Rule. I've come on here plenty of times and I said I think it's a shame that in 2022 we got to have a rule just to get people of color and minorities opportunities like this. But on the flip side of that, if we didn't have that rule, there's no telling. These guys might not even get that opportunity, period, anyway. And when you look at this, though, it's on the sights of this. These owners, in my eyes, have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And when I say this, I mean that they need to get comfortable being around people of color, understanding the culture of people of color, so they can have a better understanding of the way things are supposed to be, right? It's sad that I think about this, and I think about my great-grandmother before she passed, and I listened to the stories that she tell me about the things and racism she had to deal with. Then I listened to my grandmother, who's at my house often helping me with my kids, tell me the same things. Then I listened to my father, I listened to my mother, and I'm thinking, that's four generations. Now I'm thinking about myself, and then I have a son and I have kids, and then is it ever gonna go away? Well, from the looks of it right now, no, it's not. But I think it's a disservice, I think it's a disjustice to have these men who have put in time. You have coaches of color who've coached in the NFL for 20 plus years, waiting for an opportunity. You look at a guy like David Culley, a guy that I love because David Culley gave me my first workout with the Philadelphia Eagles when I was coming out of college. And something went on in that workout, and he grabbed me, pulled me to the side, and talked to me, and it stuck with me to this day. He's a leader of a man. But here's my thing. Here's my question, Max and Key, I have for y'all, is that how are these owners looking to hire coaches that are leader of men if they aren't leaders because they're manipulating the system? How are they being asked to hire people that are leader of men and they're they're supposed to be leaders, and they're manipulating this system?
That is an excellent question. A lot of people say, well, it's a pipeline issue. You need more coaches in the pipeline to have more bites at the apple. It may be that people are influenced by race in ways they don't like. Let's take overt racism out of it, right? Where people say, I don't like that guy because he's black, or I want a white guy, right? Like, let's take that out for a second and assume a better nature in the owners. But they could be influenced by all kinds of stereotypes that they're not even really aware of. Like, there's a lot of that. But the issue about leader, Harry, that you just pointed to, I want to start talking about specifically this case from Brian Flores' point of view. We're going to do that coming up on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas in for Jay today, ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Can't commend Brian Flores more for essentially saying, I may be sacrificing my professional future, but this is too important for me to not do it. What an amazing amount of guts and courage.
Most of the time, these interviews are sham interviews. They're just there to appease what we know as the Rooney Rule right now.
Brian Flores is looking at a bigger picture. I may lose my job, but this kind of stuff that's going on, that I put out these allegations, that has got to change when it comes to that in the National Football League.
A head coach, you hear it a lot more than anything, more than scheming, play calling, this and that, is a leader of men, right? Like, if you ain't got that, good luck. And I mentioned it before we went to break. Key, Harry Douglas in for J. Will here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. I mentioned before we went to break, dude inherited a team from Adam Gase. They were awful. They were outscored by so much the first five games. We asked on this network, on TV, is this the worst team of all time? A team like that's going to quit on the coach, right? Nope. Never quit. Won five of their last nine. Won 10 games the next year. Came storming back this past season to finish with a winning record. That's a leader. I don't care what your scheme is, whatever else is. To have a group of guys not quit on you, you have to lead. And Key, it seems to me, Harry, it seems to me, that even in this piece of behavior from Brian Flores, where a young guy with Flores, 40 years old, yeah, with a bright coaching future in front of him, is suing the NFL, knowing maybe he doesn't get another job, maybe it doesn't rule him out, but it is a risk. Here's his personal statement. God has gifted me with a special talent to coach the game of football, but the need for change is bigger than my personal goals. In making the decision to file the class action complaint today, I understand that I may be risking coaching the game that I love, that has done so much for my family and me. My sincere hope is that by standing up against systemic racism in the NFL, others will join me to ensure that positive change is made for generations to come. So there is a lot here, Key. It's like a several multi-part question. And number one, does this exclude him from future work? There was a big thought about Colin Kaepernick at the time. Well, he's marginal. He's kind of slipping out of the league. This is, in a way, pumping himself up. I'm not saying this is what happened, but there was that thought. This is not a guy at the top of his powers, you know, who's... But Brian Flores is a sought-after coach. He just did a good job. He was going to get another job, it looked like. Did he, in fact, not just jeopardize it, but spoil his chance going forward? That's the first layer of this before we even get to what I see is like, oh, that's a leader of men. That's a dude with guts. First, let's start with the first layer, Key.
You know what? I don't know, because there's 32 teams and 32 different owners, and they all don't think the same. If you think about the Glazer family and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they've had three black head coaches since they've bought the team many years ago. And so whether it was Tony Dungy, Raheem Morris, or Lovie Smith. So everybody doesn't think the same. I think there are a few owners that are out there that would never hire Brian Flores because their mindset is totally different. But I think because he's a good football coach and he stands for something and he has high character, just based on what he's getting ready to go through, he certainly should be considered as a head coach in the National Football League, not just in the future, but today. Hmm.
There's a shoulda, and there's the like, will he actually be considered? Key, you bring up there some, Harry, excuse me, I just want to follow up with Key on this. You bring up there are some owners of football teams in the NFL, and we know, and none of them are black, right? But there are some owners who are not afraid or biased or stereotype in such a way that excludes them from hiring black head coaches, African-American head coaches. Are those like the new money, the new owners who are coming into the league and changing things?
I think, well, when you say new owners, most of the owners in the National Football League out of the 32 inherited the football teams, or they bought them long, many, many years ago, so their mindsets is still stuck in the Stone Ages. But when you think about the new owners, the guys that got into the club within the last 30 years or so, their mindsets may be a little bit different. When you talk, I mentioned the Glazer family, they bought the team from the Cloverhouse family back in the day. Their mindsets are a little bit different. You know what I'm saying, Harry? They are used to dealing with minorities, so to speak. And this is a bigger conversation, Harry. I want to bring you in on it and give you an opportunity to share your light.
Yeah, Key, it is a mindset thing, right? And until the mindset change, circumstances and things around you won't change. Right. When you look at these owners and you look at different things that transpire, and you look at Brian Flores, we talked about a leader of men. Right. He is that. And sometimes I put on my Instagram yesterday, leaders lead and sacrifice individuality for a greater good. And then I finished that by saying the time is now. So I have a ton of respect for Brian Flores because he has recognized that a lot of things are going on in the National Football League and it needs to change. So, yes, he's a guy that's up and coming. A guy that I think is a hell of a coach, and he's leading. But will he get another opportunity in the NFL? Do I think so? I think he should. Do I think he will get shut out because of these allegations or this lawsuit that he has? There's a possibility. That's just reality. But at the same time, I look at this. Brian Flores is a strong black man with a presence. You want to know what America is scared of? A strong black man with a presence.
Yeah, and that is true. See, the whole shutout thing to me, in doing the research on the book that I wrote that I released back in September, just understanding the history of the National Football League dating all the way back to the 1930s.
Got it right here.
Is when players were not allowed to play in the National Football League, but the owners were. Some owners were so afraid to bring black players into the National Football League that they ignored some of the behavior of some of the owners, whether it was George Halas, whether it was George Preston Marshall, who owned the Washington football team at the time. That was the Washington Redskins, which is now changing their name again. You look at that and you say to yourself, the same things that went on now is repeating itself all over again in the National Football League history.
Correct.
And I think when you go and you try and parallel Brian Flores' situation, the Colin Kaepernick situation, they're two different situations, even though they sound the same. They make you think, because of what happened to Kaepernick being somewhat forced out of the National Football League and the excuse being used that he was no longer good enough, which was a damn lie. We all know he could still play football, but because that caught fire, people started running and believing that. You mentioned the fact that Flores is a good coach. He can still coach, Max, which is true. There are guys out there like Steve Bisciotti for the Baltimore Ravens. He don't have a problem with us, okay, because he's comfortable being around us. Think about it. His team is in Baltimore. He bought a team that had a prominent Hall of Fame general manager in Ozzie Newsome. So when you are comfortable around somebody, it's okay. When you are uncomfortable, that's where the issues lie. It's not necessarily racism as far as I'm concerned. It's uncomfortableism, if that's such a word.
That's why
I said these owners got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? Because it allows you to grow in ways that you never even imagined, right? And I always said comfortability drives complacency, right? So you're comfortable with something, you're not going to always put forth your best effort. So now when you're going through the coaching hiring and that process and you have a black coach that might be more qualified than the white coach that you're hiring – the fact that you're not comfortable with being uncomfortable and have taken those measures, you're not going to hire the most qualified guy for the job. So now you're not only are you cheating your organization, you're cheating those players because you're not giving them the best prospect out there for the job as well.
Right. There's a lot of football to talk about, too. We're not done with this topic today or going forward, but we are getting into some football. And just by, like, not to put a bow on it because we're getting back to it. How about going to self-interest for the owners? They're competitive guys. Key talks about they want to walk around at the meetings with the rings. And if you don't have the Super Bowl ring, you got to sit in the corner. You're not part of that conversation, right? Just in terms of your own self-interest, do you think your organization is better off when you exclude 70%+ of the people in the industry with experience? Do you think in the long run you are at a competitive advantage or disadvantage? Ask yourself that, even if you harbor racist feelings. I'm not saying they do, but even if you did, you want to win or not? All right, coming up, much more on this. Plus, could Joe Burrow be the best Bengals quarterback ever already? We're going to ask a former Bengal.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Can't commend Brian Flores more for essentially saying, I may be sacrificing my professional future, but this is too important for me to not do it. What an amazing amount of guts and courage.
Most of the time, these interviews are sham interviews. They're just there to appease what we know as the Rooney Rule right now.
Brian Flores is looking at a bigger picture. I may lose my job, but this kind of stuff that's going on, that I put out these allegations, that has got to change when it comes to that in the National Football League.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM, Channel 80, your smart speakers, download the podcast. Key, J, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are joined now by former Bengals safety Solomon Wilcots. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Solomon, man. Well. Just trying to navigate these rough waters that we're dealing with this morning from yesterday's Brian Flores' news. That's pretty much it, I would say, at this point in time. You know, you've been in this league for a very long time, both as a player and as a major broadcaster in the booth. What was your reaction when you heard the news that Brian Flores was essentially on an out to get after the NFL for some of their hiring practices?
Yeah, it was shocking because for Brian Flores to choose what we call the nuclear option, right? This is like mutual insured destruction. He knows that once he files that lawsuit, his career of coaching in the National Football League or ever being hired, right, by another owner, whether it's a head coaching job, coordinator job, it's pretty much nil. So to think that this is a pathway that he would have preferred to have taken, you and I both know that's just simply not the case. This guy wants to coach football, wants to be a head coach. And all you got to do is just look at his record. He's had back-to-back winning seasons. He has achieved above expectations in Miami, despite some of the things that he had to go through. And I can tell you this. I've talked to one person in the league office, and this was about a year ago, who told me that Brian Flores is the only head coach when his players would get a fine and they would have to appeal that fine. You guys know what that process is all about. That he's the only head coach that would advocate for his players, that would get on those calls with the league office, with his players, and he would ask the league, okay, in what way can we better coach our players so that they could avoid fines? He would tell the players, it's on us as coaches to do a better job of teaching you how to perform without drawing penalties. This is a guy that his players play hard for him, Keith, and that's why they've had back-to-back winning seasons, because he invests in them. They return the favor by investing and giving their effort and energy to play hard for him. This is what coaching is about. This is what we do know. He's beaten Belichick in three of the last four games that he's coached. So that's what the record shows, and that's what it really should be about. It shouldn't be about all this other stuff, these clandestine meetings on a boat to do other things, to lose games. And I think it's a black eye for the National Football League.
Solomon, what will it take, though, to see this stupidity that is continuing to go around the National Football League and these owners? What will it take to stop it?
Listen, you have 32 owners who are empowered by their finances and by their structure of a league that allows them to hire in secret, to do business behind closed doors. I think if you or I owned a business, we would not want anyone telling us who to hire. We would not want any legislation dictating to us who we should hire. However, Martin Luther King spoke about these things years ago as we enter Black History Month. You know, you change the world by changing the hearts of men. Now, where do you go to get 32 owners to understand that it is a good thing to have diversity of thought, to have different ways of solving problems, to have a collection of people in the room who have those kind of abilities that offer diversity and intelligence? And so until they come to that conclusion that it's going to actually benefit them, then I think it's going to be very difficult to change that. You know, the Rooney family, they seem to understand that intuitively. There are other men who simply don't.
What would you like to see improve when it comes to the hiring practices in the National Football League?
I think it's some of the things that I just touched upon. I would like for NFL owners, the people who are in the hiring process, to truly value what it is that, let's be more specific, that we as African-American men, what we bring to the table, our ability to lead men, our ability to strategically, from a tactical standpoint, stand up against any other coach, battle, and win games. Mike Tomlin has proven that, right? I think Brian Flores has proven it. You go take a look at the last four times. I would think that if you're in the in that division, if you're a Dolphins owner, you would want to coach. Tell me how you're going to beat the Patriots. Like, if I'm interviewing you, I would say, how are you going to beat the Patriots? Because they seem to be the team that has dominated us for the last 20 years. And you lay out a plan to do that. And Brian Flores, in three of the last four games against the Patriots, he's beaten Bill Belichick, one of the great coaches in our game. And so I think when you keep moving the cheese in terms of what's required to prove that you deserve a seat at the table, that becomes frustrating. You and I both know it can wear thin on even the strongest of men. And I think that's why Brian Flores has chosen this option. I don't think it's one that he would have preferred.
Do you think it's a black eye for the NFL for the simple fact that you have Mike Tomlin as the only black coach in the National Football League? He coaches for Pittsburgh, and you have the Rooney Rule, so it's self-explanatory there. But he has had success. He has not had a losing season. Do you think that's a black eye for the National Football League? Because we've seen Mike Tomlin have so much success, and it can be done by a black man.
What we see, guys, is total contradiction of what a league and its ownership group professes and then what the actions show. So you see one minute it castigating a Colin Kaepernick, and then the next minute it is embracing the ideals of Black Lives Matter, and it's printed in end zones and banners are hanging within our NFL stadium. 70% of our players in the league are black. Only one black head coach. We don't see a translation from what the league and ownership group is professing and what is actually manifesting itself in real-time policy and decision-making. And I think we have to understand that, you know, players are seen as labor. I think African-American coaches are put pretty much in the same category. You're not seen as part of the management team. You're not seen as part of the decision-making process. You're not a stakeholder in this business model. And so we have seen this contradiction from the National Football League, and we've seen policies and decision-making. Just take the taunting rule, for instance. I can watch a coach. I'm going to be more specific. I can watch a white coach on national television castigate and berate an official. And you could read his lips in terms of what he's saying, profanity laced, and even the broadcast team jokes about what was just said. Say, yeah, we have colorful language in our league like that. And then if a player, particularly an African-American player, takes his helmet off and yells at the referee, or even keeps the helmet on and yells at a referee, flag going up real quick. And then we're hearing from these committees, but we are trying to curtail, okay, the amount of vitriol that we're getting from players and how they're behaving. And so it just goes to a whole nother level of what we know is very stereotypical with any governing body in terms of its treatment towards a group of people. And using coded language to cover it up, I think it just belies the point. I think we all can see through it, and I think we all see through some of the hypocrisy and some of the policies and decision-making. And you and I both know we all want to see it improve.
Yeah, certainly. Solomon Wilcox joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Solomon, the reason we brought you on the show is not necessarily to talk about Brian Flores, but because we booked you to talk about something even more positive in the Cincinnati Bengals. You were on that last Super Bowl team of the Cincinnati Bengals. What do you see in this Bengals team that impresses you?
You know, I see a team that's very young. I remember going back in 88. Paul Brown at the time was still alive, and I remember our very first meeting at the beginning of training camp. He came into the room, and you look around the room, there's Anthony Munoz, there's Boomer Esiason, there's Chris Collinsworth, there's James Brooks, there's Icky Woods, Eddie Brown, Tim McGee, right? And he told us, he said, you guys don't realize how good you are. He said, half the teams that play you, they're afraid of you. They don't know what team's going to show up. He said, it's time that you guys realize how good you are. And I remember many of us who still live in the Cincinnati area, we were saying the same things to Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase earlier in the year, you know, particularly after that loss to the New York Jets. You guys got to realize what you have in front of you. And their ability to continue to come from behind and win games, when they get down three times by 14 points to Kansas City in that Week 17 game, they just keep coming back. They get down by 18 points in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs on the road at Arrowhead Stadium. Difficult place to play. Keep coming back. And the second half adjustments they've made all season long, I think it tells you that they've got some really good coaches. They've outscored most teams in the second half all season long, Key. So this is a team that's got great resiliency despite being so young, and now they're just one game away from winning the championship.
Solomon Wilcox here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas in for J. Will today. Solomon, before we let you go, I teased it last segment, so now we have to pay it off. We covered a lot here relating to the Brian Flores situation, and we just touched on the Bengals, so I have to ask you this. Is Joe Burrow already the best quarterback, not the most accomplished, the greatest, is he already the best quarterback in Bengals history?
You know, that's a loaded question because my guy Boomer, he's out there lurking and listening. But look, if he can close out this one more game, I think it's quantifiable and tangible, right? There's evidence that says yes. The guy's a gangster, man.
He's a gangster.
I'm telling you, he is loaded for winning. He's preloaded for this, and we love the fact that he's had to earn everything he's gotten. How many guys can come back? I talked to him before the start of the season. I said, Joe, man, you're just 8 months post-op. You're ready to play this season? You know, because he wasn't playing during preseason. He was like, Saul, I'm playing. Week one, he was out there. Even Aaron Rodgers ran across the field and told him, man, do you know how good you are? He's like, man, you got to get down. You can't keep taking these hits. How many quarterbacks you know can get sacked 9 times, keep getting back up, and keep dealing?
Win in the playoffs.
Hey, man, that's gangster now. Just flat telling you. He's bad. Sias and Kenny Anderson, both guys were former MVPs. Even they will tell you he's the one we've been waiting for.
Yep. Wish he was the Giants quarterback. Yeah, but Solomon Wilcox, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate it. Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Keep up the good work.
Sally. Thanks, guys. Hey, guys, we got to move it along, but listening to Solomon again about the Brian Flores situation, just it reminded me, you know, when I talked about earlier, hey, do you think it's wise just from your business, right? You want to win, you're competitive, to exclude 70% of the population with experience from the business. Is that a good business choice? I want to bring up a concrete example real quick before we move on. I'm a huge Yankees fan, right? The Yankees were one of the last teams to integrate. And they were winning the World Series every year. They're like, well, we already got the right players. What do I need? You know, we're succeeding. What do we need black players for? We're waiting for the right black player. They got Elston Howard. He was an MVP. He was great and everything. They continued to win. But because they were so slow to integrate, because they excluded a part of the population for no good reason that other teams started to exploit, right? Like, hey, let's just get the best guy for the job. Their dynasty, which lasted 40 years, came crashing down. Came crashing down, and they stunk on ice for a decade. That is directly related to that point of view. Just wanted to bring that up as a concrete example of what I'm talking about. Even whatever feelings people harbor, you want to win? You want to win, yes or no? All right, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Guys, there's a lot to get into. We touched on the Bengals. We touched, obviously, been into the Flores situation. But we go from all that to Tom Brady.
People say, what do you want to do after football? And I'm like, what do you mean after football? There's nothing after football. You know that I win, that I win, that I win, that I win. This is what, you know, I was born to do, and this is what I enjoy doing more than anything else.
Brady in the gun, blitzes on, throws to the near left side, pylon, and a two-hit catch for a go-ahead Patriots touchdown.
The greatest and most accomplished quarterback to play the game of football.
So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. KJ and Max, by the way, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Ty Law, three-time Super Bowl champion, was on a show called First Take. Have you guys heard of this show, First Take? So he had something to say about me and how what Brady should. Listen to Ty Law.
If I was Tom Brady, because I'm a little bit pettier, I would go to Costa Rica and I would call Max Kellerman. Now I'm going to jump off my cliff. I'm going to jump off it right now with a cannonball, and I might be holding up things, but it wouldn't be fists. Now I'm going to jump off the cliff.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Guys, Brady already kind of did that. He posted on Instagram, went at me on Instagram like a year ago with a cliff and the whole thing. I think he beat Ty Law to the punch. But there's no question, not only was there no cliff, but there was no cliff in sight. Like, he retired, and if you ask anyone, including me, hey, how would he have played next year? Great. Why would – I don't see any fall off. If anything, in a way, he's getting better in a weird way. So like, he's proven his point for sure. How should you know, the question is, that's something he could do. Anything else? Anything else you could think of that Tom Brady could do to me that's worth talking about? Go to Costa Rica, tell me to jump off a cliff? What else? What should the punishment be?
Pay you no mind.
You was his motivation.
Don't give it any thought.
That now. Yeah, that would be smart, Key, but apparently I'm a key figure in the story of Tom Brady right now for some reason.
If I was terrific Tom, Max, I wouldn't even pay you no attention.
But you're not, though.
I would be like, whatever. I got seven of them, and I'm still thinking about unretiring next year to get another one.
Key. Max was Tom Brady's motivation. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's right. Let's look at Man in the Arena. Do you know the Man in the Arena is from a Teddy Roosevelt speech? Former president at that time at the Sorbonne in France, right, in Paris. And he gives this whole speech, great speech. That's why athletes love it, because if you read through this thing, you're like, oh, yeah. It's not the critic that counts, right? He sits there cold with the pen, just making criticism about what the strong men in the arena do. Blood, sweat, and tears. Whether they fail or they succeed, they're in the arena. They're giving it their best. That's who counts, right? But the whole thing is not just celebrating the athlete in this case, it's also going at the critic. The name of the thing that he put out is called The Man in the Arena. He's talking about me, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you're the only person I know that can say something about an athlete, a Hall of Famer, historical guy, the whole deal, number one guy that ever played the position. The only guy that can get as much run about one little stupid statement. You get more run about that little stupid statement than anybody.
Well, hey, just you're right. You're right, Keith. But look,
juice.
Harry's
you got some
right.
Juice, Max. You got
Harry's
some juice,
right.
Man.
Harry, look at this from 2000 to 2016. Throw that back up on ESPN News. I want to see that graphic. I want to read the stats off the graphic. Passing yards, he was third. Passing touchdowns, third. Right. Then I made the cliff prediction. Since then, first in passing yards and passing touchdowns. By the way, the wins, that's the most important category. He was first across the board. He was first across
the board. But that ain't even the biggest thing. Two Super Bowls.
Three, I think. I think he won three since I said it. Atlanta, and then against Atlanta, just now against the Chiefs last year. And I think there was one more I'm missing.
No,
at least
just
two.
Just the two?
He went.
Yeah.
He went. Oh, the Rams.
Motivation.
Rams. No, it's three. Am I the greatest quarterback of all time? Is that what it is? Coming up next, how much blame should fall on Roger Goodell? We're going to get into it. KJM, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.